ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. హరే కృష్ణ. సో టుడే వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెండ్ 5 చాప్టర్ 22 లాస్ట్ శ్లోక. శ్లోక నంబర్ 17. సో ఇస్ ద ప్రోజ్. సో ఐ విల్ జస్ట్ రీడ్ దిస్ అండ్ దెన్ వీ విల్ హ్యావ్ వర్డ్ మీనింగ్స్. తత ఉత్తరస్మాద్ ఋషయ ఏకాదశ లక్ష యోజనాంతర ఉపలభ్యంతే లోకానాంశం అనుభావ్యంతో భగవతో విష్ణుర్యత్ పరమం పదం పదక్షిణం ప్రక్రమంతి. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్స్. తత ద ప్లానెట్ సెటర్న్ ఉత్తరస్మాత్ అబవ్ రిషయః గ్రేట్ సెయింట్లీ సేజెస్ ఏకాదశ లక్ష యోజనాంతరే ఎట్ అ డిస్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ 11 lakh యోజనస్ ఉపలభ్యంతే ఆర్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఏ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఏవ ఇండీడ్ లోకానాం ఫర్ ఆల్ ద ఇన్హాబిటెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్ షమ్ ద గుడ్ ఫార్చ్యూన్ అనుభావ్యంత ఆల్వేస్ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ భగవత ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ విష్ణు లార్డ్ విష్ణు యత్ విచ్ పరమం పదం the supreme abode pradakshinam placing on the right prakramanti circumambulate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. Situated 88 lakh miles above Saturn or 2 crore 8 lakh miles above earth are the 7 saintly sages who are always thinking of the well-being of the inhabitants of the universe. They circumambulate the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu known as Dhruva Lok, the pole star. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following verse from the Brahmanda Purana. Gyanandana Gyanandanatmano Vishnu Shishumar Vapushya Atha Urdhvalokeshu Savyapta Adityadyastadashita. Lord Vishnu, who is the source of knowledge and transcendental bliss, has assumed the form of Shishumar in the 7th heaven, which is situated in the topmost level of the universe. All the other planets, beginning with the sun, exist under the shelter of this Shishumar planetary system. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 22nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Orbits of the Planets. We missed to say word by word translation, so please say after me. Translation. Situated 88 lakh miles above Saturn or 2 crore 8 lakh miles above Earth are the 7 saintly sages who are always thinking of the well-being of the inhabitants of the universe. They circumambulate the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, known as Dhruvalok, the pole star. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastade Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patidanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhaya Degirim Yakripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, thank you. First of all, I would like to seek the blessings of Senior Vaishnavas present, especially His Grace Devaki Nandan Prabhu, His Grace Asim Krishna Prabhu, and His Grace Vaikunthamurthy Prabhu, and many other seniors who are visible and invisible to these eyes because some are listening on the radio. So before I start, just thought that what is the importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam? That too also Srila Prabhupada kept this Srimad Bhagavatam class, this section of morning program, the longest after Japa, 1 hour. So I was reading in first canto some days ago that Srila Prabhupada writes there in those shlokas, Srinamatam Sakatha Krishna, those series of shlokas somewhere she writes that the importance of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam is this only, that just by this hearing Abhadrani Vidunoti Abhadrani, that Abhadras, that six anarthas, they will go away, which are otherwise impossible for us to get rid of unless and until we get Krishna's mercy. On our own it is practically impossible task to get rid of anarthas, and such powerful anarthas which may not even go close to the mouth. Is it better? Bro. So these anarthas, they may not even go by very rigid perfect practice of karma kanda also. So much so that even yogis and dhyanis and all, the narthas don't go. In great, great yogis also, narthas don't go. So it's not a cakewalk. So much so that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in his commentary one place that in the life of a sadhaka, a stage comes where he will be frustrated that, array, nothing is advancing in Krishna consciousness and nor am I able to enjoy my material life. So he becomes so frustrated that he feels that nothing is happening, nothing is moving forward. So he almost feels like giving up only. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that stage will also come in life of a sadhaka. But you have to cross through that stage also. That is why Srila Prabhupada writes this famous statement, hoping out of hope. Out of hope. We have no hope, but still hoping. So the power of this hearing is that it can remove these anarthas, which are almost a hopeless situation for our own selves to get rid of. So, actually, yesterday night only I came to know that I have to serve. I could not prepare much, let us try. So I thought to discuss this section, this discussion today in three sections. First will be the context of the chapter. Second will be the context going in this shloka. And third will be practical application in our own lives. The first two parts I will try to take Srila Prabhupada's take on that. How Srila Prabhupada will, you know, how is his mood to see these sections and speak on these sections. So I was, when I was informed that try to serve this. So the first easiest thing is just to find out Srila Prabhupada's lecture and just elaborate on that. But even near chapters also there is no lecture of Srila Prabhupada. And then I thought, okay, let me just go to the chapter and as many purports I can, you know, just churn. Then I found purports are also very, very less. In this whole chapter only 2-3 purports are there, and that also just give 1 or 2 extra points about this cosmic thing going on. So then I just thought that how Srila Prabhupada used to take such things. Now, 2-3 incidences came to my remembrance that one is mentioned in the book of His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, his book on glorification of Srila Prabhupada, My Glorious Master. So he writes there about one pastime of Prabhupada, interplanetary eagles. Have anybody ever read this? Interplanetary eagles? No. Okay. Very funny, yet instructive. So one evening Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in that center, I don't know, Los Angeles or where. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking that he boldly spoke of giant eagles that fly from one planet to another. And these eagles, they eat elephants. And they hatch their eggs in outer space. And with the help of atmospheric friction, hawa mein jo ghisna hai, with the help of that they hatch their eggs in outer space. And then, as he was sitting, you know, like, you know, sometimes you will see Srila Prabhupada sitting in a very stately posture, you know, like a boss. So Srila Prabhupada sitting like that and very confidently he was speaking this, exposing this point. So some of the devotees were sitting, around 65 devotees were sitting, listening to Srila Prabhupada's this point. So one of the devotees, his name was Raghunath. So he asked a question, Srila Prabhupada, in your lecture, you mentioned giant eagles who fly from one planet to another. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And Srila Prabhupada was like, you know, like very bossily sitting. So then he said, Prabhupada, well, this is a little hard to believe. Then Prabhupada, still sitting like a boss, you know, in a very commanding post, told, what do you know? you are still within the mother's womb. So, this is one instance. Second, as His Grace Bhima Prabhu on the Sunday Bhagavatam class on this chapter, only 8th verse, he was mentioning that how Srila Prabhupada's take on moon landing was. Like the 1969, when that was live going on, Srila Prabhupada told the devotees to put on TV and Prabhupada was watching. And then his take was simply to explain that how this Vedic knowledge is perfect. And how this moon landing is just a farce. And Prabhuji, Bhima Prabhu was telling 3 points. One of flag flying, another of dust flying, and another of three different reasons he was giving, that how they never landed on moon, right? Yeah, shadows. That when the source of light is only one moon there, no bulb is there, then how the shadows of the people walking on the moon were different angled. So these 3 different reasons he gave, that how Prabhupada said these reasons, that how they never landed on moon. And then Prabhupada will not spend much time on this. He will prove this logically and scripturally. Then he will come back to the point. Jai Shri Shri Radha Rasu Bihari Lalita Vishakha Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Then Shri Prabhupada will quickly come back to the point that how we should surrender to this great Lord Krishna. And another incidence I wanted to say, third one is, then I will say the understanding from this, that once when Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj went, Srila Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, sometimes we feel little puffed up or proud. Of course, that was in his humility. And then that we are so big. Then Srila Prabhupada used the same cosmic thing or the understanding of this cosmic vastness to make Tamal Krishna Maharaj feel humble. He explained that how there are unlimited universes, and then in each universe unlimited planets. Then in each planet there is Lord, and in each planet there are so many, continents and all, oceans, continents, mountains. Then in each continent there are so many countries. In each country there are so many cities. In each city there are so many, areas like Andheri, Villeparle. And then within each area there are so many societies. Within each society, within each area there is like this one temple. Within one temple there are so many rooms and so many departments. And within one of these rooms, one small Tamal Krishna is sitting. So Srila Prabhupada used this cosmic vastness, the information available of that, these 3 incidences we saw, to explain to the devotees that how Krishna is great, how this information is perfect, and how we should surrender to the Supreme Lord who is so great. That is why we worship Sri Radha Rasa Bihari Ji, not in Vrindavan Bhav. Although our philosophy is Vrindavan Bhav, and we do serve Vrindavan Bhav, but we dress him like Dwarka. Full mukut, high class dress, ornaments, such thick garland. And after wearing half 1 hour, even dried garland, you feel tired. Make feel tired. Lord wears whole day fresh garland. Like a king, we worship him. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to understand this thing from this section. Another reason why I spoke these 3 incidences is that being a very new person, I have no understanding of scholarly understanding of this cosmic situation is presented in this chapter. So I thought, let us understand what Srila Prabhupada says, and then Prabhupada said this. Right. So then I wanted to say just a summary of this chapter. All the distances are mentioned. Practically last 10 shlokas there is no purport. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that how above the rays of sunshine, this chapter mentions starting from chapter text number 5, 6, 7 like that. Above the rays of sunshine by a distance of 8 lakh miles is the moon, and 16 lakh miles above that is group of 28 important stars headed by Abhijit. Then 16 lakh miles above those stars, that is total 56 lakh miles above Earth, is planet Venus. Then 16 lakh more, that is 72 lakh miles above Earth, is Mercury. Then another 16 lakh, 88 lakh miles above Earth, is planet Mars. Another 16 lakh, 1 crore 4 lakh miles above Earth, is planet Jupiter. And another 16 lakhs, that is 1,20,00,000 miles above Earth is planet Saturn, and around 88,00,000 miles above Saturn, that is total 2,08,00,000 miles, which is the present shloka, is above Earth. 2,08,00,000 miles above Earth is the seven saintly sages. Huge. 2,08,00,000 miles. At max we know this Calcutta or Chennai, 1,000 miles or 1,500 miles. It's 2,08,00,000 miles. So this is this, and then there are the sages. So this was the context of the whole chapter going on. Then coming back to the shloka, the second part of our discussion will be shloka's context. I found that we can discuss on this point, as the translation says, these seven saintly sages, what are they doing? What are they always doing? Who are always thinking of the well-being of the inhabitants of the universe. So their activity is important. So we can discuss surely something on that. That they are sitting so far away up and above. They are thinking about the well-being of the welfare of the living beings of this whole universe. So this is the nature of saintly persons. That they are always focused on the well-being of one and all. This we can see not only saintly persons, even Lord Krishna himself. Otherwise, what is the need of coming to this dirty material world? Even till previous ages, demigods would come sometimes to this world. That is why we will hear Narad Muni, Brahmaji, Shivaji coming, you know, frequently. Frequent visitors. Frequent flyer. Frequent flyers they were. But present state, we see, you know, nobody is coming. At least we cannot see physically as people could see earlier. So even demigods are not coming. But we can see Lord Krishna comes. And not only once. Again and again and again and again. Yada yadai dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. Jab jab down jayega, tab tak main aunga, tab tak main aa jaunga. And Sri Prabhupada mentions in Canto 1 of Bhagavatam that how this preaching work is going on amongst all species. We may see only Sri Prabhupada in human species preaching. But Sri Prabhupada is writing that preaching work is going on in all species. And then Prabhupada gives like some examples of Lord in different incarnations of animal forms, transcendental animal forms. So we can see that how Krishna comes in such a dirty material world. And it's not that when Krishna came, everybody loved him. Yeah, perfect, you know, the Supreme Lord, all loving Susukham, this, you know, Bhoktaram, Yagyatapsam, Sarva Lokamaheshwaram, Suvidam Sarva Bhutanam, you know, Gyatvamam Shanti Vrachati. No. We have the examples from Krishna book of Pondrak, Jarasandha, Duryodhana, Shishupal, criticized like anything, Dantavakra. So many of them who actually hated Krishna. Still Krishna leaves the company of this most beloved people. Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu surabhira bhipalayantam lakshmi sahasra satasambra masevyamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Such is the dham of Lord, Chintamani dham, where sahasra sahasra lakshmis are waiting in line to clean the temple of the Lord. Sahasra. And Prabhupada mentions one place that there is no dirt there. Udhar to kuch mitti nahi hai. Udhar to gandagi nahi. Still they are waiting in line. Why? Just to attract the mercy of the Lord. Just to, you know, attract Vishnu. Just to attract him. Haan, mai seva kar raha hu. This is why. Such beloved place where uncountable people are loving Krishna. Unmotivatedly, he leaves. That is the proof of Krishna's nature. How much he loves everybody. Name deshvasti na priyaha. That I love all. I love all. And then we can see this nature of not only Krishna. Practically those devotees who have become Krishnaized. As Srila Prabhupada will say. And that is why Bhagavatam speaks Narad Muni as Bhagavan. Not that he has become Bhagavan, but he is so much Krishnaized that, you know, he can be called as Bhagavan. That he is so much, such a pure devotee, such a, just absorbed in Krishna only. Similarly, we can see the sages of Naimisharanya. our whole Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam starts from there. How their concern is, batao, kuch to batao, ise sabka bhala ho. This is our Vedic. And this mood, of course we'll take many more examples. I just read one short paragraph from a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, which he gave in Los Angeles on November 10th, 1968. On Kendo 3rd, chapter 25, shloka number 13, he gave this very nice lecture. In that he mentions this mood. We can see this mood vibrant in Srila Prabhupada's life very much. And then we'll see many more examples, and then we'll see Srila Prabhupada again. Srila Prabhupada writes, I'll read the word by word. Similarly, the scriptures, the sages, the saintly persons, the devotees, the representative of Krishna, God, they are very much anxious to take us back home, back to Godhead. That is nishreyasaya. That is the ultimate benediction, to be repaired, some missing is there, enamored by the temporary society, friendship and love. It has become a thankless task for saintly persons, devotees of God, to drag such materialistic people. And what they say? Oh, what the saintly people say? Oh, please come here. Please chant Hare Krishna. Please be Krishna conscious. Please be God conscious. Nobody likes it. They think it is botheration. Why Swamiji has come here and bothers us? But it has become the business. Therefore, the qualification of a saintly person is titikshava, very tolerant, very tolerant. Just like Lord Jesus Christ, he was crucified. Still, he was so tolerant, he, at the time of crucifixion, he is praying to God, my Lord, these people do not know what they are doing. Please forgive them. Just see how much tolerant. Titikshava. This is the first qualification of a saintly person or God's servant or God's son. Very tolerant. They have to push on their Krishna consciousness movement or God consciousness movement through so many odds, through so many odds. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how God conscious people are very, very tolerant and they are always focused on the welfare of all the people. And they keep on trying to preach Krishna consciousness, this message of Bhagavad Gita, through so many odds. And those devotees who have read Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita, at least, know this, what Srila Prabhupada went through. And one Sannyasi Maharaja mentioned that what Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita mentions is only 1% of what Srila Prabhupada went through to establish his con and, you know, expand it. So we can see this mood of taking trouble and preaching Krishna consciousness through so many odds is not only unique to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, for us, it is totally unique to his lotus feet. Because of him, we are sitting here today. But this we can see, even in our acharyas, up to even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, we can see very clearly how his devotees had to face opposition from Kazi. So vehemently, and that too 500 years ago, not now. Even today, it's not a common scene to see that somebody comes and breaks mridanga in India. 500 years ago, somebody came and broke mridanga. Huge, vehement opposition of Mahaprabhu's preaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give up. He went on. Another example we can see is of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. When they will go to preach Krishna consciousness on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So some people will welcome them, but many people will say that thieves have come. Now they have come to see our house and how they can enter in the night and how where is the dhan, where is this wealth kept, everything. And in the night they will keep, come and they will steal. Such disrespect of the Lord and his Namacharya. Such disrespect. We can see Srila Prabhupada practically from 1930s, we can say, even 1920s also, but 1930s very visibly. From 1930s to 1960, mid, 65 or so, Prabhupada tried so much to preach, so much. He was ready to take whatever comes his way, whether it is his godbrother's help, or his godbrothers are not helping, whether he starts BTG, whether he is distributing BTGs, whether he is giving house programs in Jhansi or in Bombay, whether he is writing books, whether he is printing Bhagavatam, whether he is requesting people, whether he is trying Jhansi, League of Devotees, one after another he is trying to do this welfare work for all. Yes, yesterday I was reading Lilamrita, volume 1, so it mentions there that when he was made the in charge of Sajjan Toshani magazine, that, you know, come to this matha, take care of this magazine. Srila Prabhupada was very happy. And Lilamrita mentions that even before he took the charge of Sajjan Toshani magazine, how he was making such big plans to expand this Sajjan Toshani magazine very fast and in a very professional, very nice paper, very nice quality, very nice content and big size and increased production and distribution. Even before he came in charge, even before that he was ready and, you know, ready to load on. But cooperation was not there. So you can see Srila Prabhupada how he went on. He distributed his books personally, you know. In Delhi there is a place, Connaught Place, CP, it is called, a very famous area. So in Connaught Place area there was a coffee shop. Srila Prabhupada used to distribute BTG magazines there. And sometimes some other chai wala tapari shop also. He will sit on the chai ka shop and people will come and, you know, they will be taking chai and he will be talking to them and then he will request, take this magazine for 2 anna. 2 anna. And he will be distributing. And then how Connaught Place once, Srila Prabhupada was distributing in very hot sun. And he had a heat stroke, sun stroke. And he fell unconscious. And one Sardarji came and lifted him, put him on the side and, you know, in the shade and gave him water, caressed, little cared for him. Then Prabhupada came back to senses. Immediately he started the same work again. You know, even a normal person would have thought, oh, it's a sunstroke, you know, better I should take rest, otherwise something serious will happen, you know, anyway it's Krishna's body, so we have to take care of the body. Yeah, na? Sanatana Goswami was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Srila Prabhupada, as soon as he came back to consciousness, immediately lifted the back of books and started distributing books again. And Sadarji said, Swamiji, what are you doing, you know? You go back home, take rest. Prabhupada said, no, this is the mission of my spiritual life, spiritual master. I cannot give it up. We can see another example of Srila Prabhupada staying in New York in that AIR 94 loft, Bowery, sharing his loft with David. And Prabhupada even thought that this David is becoming a very nice devotee. I'll take him to India, to Vrindavan, and train him as a Vaishnava. First Vaishnava. He even wrote to his, I think, god brother, I think, that, you know, I'm bringing this one boy, is listening to me, he's very nice. I'll bring him to India and train him up. This boy came in mid of the night and with the churi, you know, like vehement, like violently going to attack Prabhupada. And Prabhupada couldn't do anything. He just ran out. And in the chilling night of New York, with one single kurta, Prabhupada was standing for several hours from all around, like 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. or something, out on the street and trying to make calls to the boys who were not his disciples but kind of his friends only. And, you know, please help me and come and take me. And then somebody came and took him. So Prabhupada never gave up. And our Juhu land is a practical example of Prabhupada's determination that I have to do this welfare work for all, unstoppingly. And how Srila Prabhupada will travel all over the world, but always this Bombay will be in his mind. Bombay will always be in mind. So much so that when he gave sannyas to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada was lacking some powerful manager for Bombay. Then he was so much, you know, in thinking about Bombay, that he personally went to Nairobi and spoke to Brahmananda Maharaj and told that, Brahmananda Maharaj, I have just come to take you personally because I want you for Bombay. And Brahmananda Maharaj came and took charge of Bombay, and Prabhupada was, okay, now somebody is there to take care. Prabhupada never gave up. And this Mr. N would have never thought, after cheating 2 or 3 more parties before Srila Prabhupada, he would have never thought that at last I will lose this land and gradually everything up to the point of my life, and that to do this sadhu. He would have thought, no, ye sadhu ko to aise hi main chakkar mein dal karke paisa le lunga aur aa jaunga. But he didn't know that devotees of the Lord are not easy people. They are very tough people when it comes to serving the Lord. Another pastime comes of is New York, when this 5,000 rupees was given to Mr. Price by the devotees, naive devotees. How Prabhupada was determined to get that 5,000 rupees back, dollars back. Similarly, when this land, you know, the point came of this land, Srila Prabhupada never gave up. And so much for that, once His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was mentioning one point that he was so bent and so smart, so clever, that he is not going to give up this land. He said that once they were staying in the Sethiji's house next door, and up, because he had given the upper floor whole for Srila Prabhupada's disciples, and Prabhupada's is called like devotees ki liye diya tha pura floor. So one day, one of the persons who was another cheated person by this Mr. Mehta, C&C company, Mr. Mehta. So he was a very old man, 65 around, and he was a very intelligent man, very smart man. He was not a new boy. He was 65 years old, a law man. He knew law because he had a law firm. He was a very intelligent, smart, clever, knowing the world man. So he came with all the documents, some papers, everything, with a big file, and met Srila Prabhupada. And when Srila Prabhupada said, yes, please tell me. So he opened the documents, all the files, then spoke to Prabhupada for some time, that how this is this document, and then this document, and then how I have paid 5 lakh rupees to Mr. N. And so he was making his point very heavy, and at the end he said that I have paid 5 lakh rupees to Mr. N, and you have paid 2 lakh rupees. So when he said like that, he was like, you know, I have completely flabbergasted or defeated Srila Prabhupada, you know, by my exposition of my strong point and my supremacy in giving Lakshmi also, that I have given 5 lakh rupees. So then finally, so when we get the land, whose claim will be first? And Srila Prabhupada said, mine. He was like shocked. He just you know, couldn't say any word. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj mentioned. He just couldn't say any word. He just looked here and there and looked at the document, looked at Prabhupada, and he just was, you know, short of words. He just packed up his file and left. And while coming down the stairs, so he told Giriraj Maharaj, your spiritual master is very clever. He is very clever. This is Srila Prabhupada. He never gave up. We have the example of devotees in USSR, salted bread. If you read, you will be in tears that how his devotees never gave up. And that one devotee, you know, recently he passed away, His Grace Ananta Shanti Prabhu. 3 days preaching only. Prabhupada met him also, gave him basic philosophy also, gave him purpose of life also, gave him whole Krishna consciousness also, taught him cooking also, taught him preaching also, gave him diksha also, and told him to preach. And within 3 days came back also. And this one devotee did so much in Russia then. And then we have seen that video also, that how the devotees, you know, they had to bear so much pain. Their nails were tripped off. Third degree torture was given to them in those Siberian jails, KGB jails. But they never gave up. They never gave up. They even chanted their rounds on the bread beads. That is why the book is called Salted Bread. They made the beads out of that bread and water. And those beads they would chant Hare Krishna. Because they were determined, we don't have to give up. And because of their determination, finally the ban was removed in 91-92. And just 11 days before that, one devotee who had left his body, just 11 days before that he left. And then this ban was overruled. And then devotees could freely preach. And now we can see Russia is like, flowing with preaching. One devotee once told me that it is mentioned in Niladri Mahoday that Lord Jagannath will one day go to Russia. I don't know how correct it is. I have heard this information that it is mentioned he will go to foreign lands. But exactly Russia or not, I have heard like this. Jagannath will go to Russia, I am not sure. So that is why they are worried. Pandas. And one day our Lord will go away. Because there is so much preaching, so much nice devotion going on. Even if he will not go to Russia, the point is that how much they are now preaching nicely. Huh? And we also have heard the example of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. When he was Ghanshyam Prabhu, just a, you know, brahmachari boy. How he will risk his life to preach. Sometimes even KGB would be right at his back. It's just a matter of life and death within, you know, few seconds here and there, life and death. But he never gave up. He will preach till he'll preached in Muslim countries also, wearing Muslim dresses also. You have seen his photos maybe. Wearing Muslim dress also, he has preached. How he risked his life right from beginning, not just now, right from beginning. But he never gave up his welfare work for the welfare of all. So this is the nature of saintly persons, that day in and day out they are engaged in the welfare work for all. Like Srila Prabhupada, he will sleep 10, 10:30 in the night and get up 1 o'clock. How many of us can do it? During my studies time, college time, once I had less marks, so in the next exams I wanted to perform better, and so I studied like that. So I used to sleep early and get up 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the night and then study till morning. But that I could do only for a few days, and that too for college studies. Just for a few days I could do. After that it's very tough, very tough. You cannot do. Prabhupada did, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. He continued the same schedule. No jet lag, no travelling tension, nothing. Wherever he is, he'll open his trunks. Bhagavatam translation going on. 1 o'clock in the night. And it's not that it didn't take toll on his body. Not that Prabhupada was transcendental, you know, body was transcendental. Nothing happens to body of Prabhupada. No, his body did take toll. His body was getting, you know, problems because of his not getting proper rest and always tension of management. But he knew that whatever way I have to live for preaching. Then he said, don't take away my privilege to struggle for Krishna. When devotees once told to him, when he was in the lift coming, and he told, Prabhupada, you are so restless, please take some rest. Please go to Hawaii or I think some place and stay for 1-2 days there, few days. Relax yourself, then next trip. Prabhupada said, don't take away my privilege to struggle for Krishna. So why I spoke a lot about Srila Prabhupada, because his example is right in front of our eyes. Just now he has, you know, his disciples who had seen him doing all this are still present. We can get a lot of inspiration from our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada to establish this mood of welfare work for all. And it is not that everybody understood this mood of Srila Prabhupada. Oh Swamiji, you are the savior of the world, you know. As we say in the morning, savior of the whole world. Not everybody says this. Even in Srila Prabhupada's times also, not even all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada could say with that much appreciation. But still Srila Prabhupada went on. And then either national or local or within, people always gave challenges to Srila Prabhupada. Always. But Srila Prabhupada never affected. And in the end, when they asked Srila Prabhupada, any desire is remaining? Prabhupada said, no desire. All my desires are fulfilled. So, always engaged in welfare work for all. So then, we discussed around 20-25 minutes about this preaching work, this welfare work of preaching Krishna consciousness. We understood the importance of this so nicely. So much so that there is a statement mentioned in Nectar of Instruction, text 5, by Srila Prabhupada, very interesting statement about this welfare workers or the preachers. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulative principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. So this is like the height, initially Prabhupada is telling. One who is always thinking of how to expand Krishna consciousness is an Uttama Adhikari. So much we are understanding the importance of preaching and this supreme welfare work for all. But let us spend now, this brings us to the close of the second section of our discussion, And now we'll be discussing the last section of our discussion, the practical application of this understanding. So much discussion on preaching. Everybody wants to preach. Everybody, you know, practically in ISKCON, naya devotee bhi aate hai. They are also like, you know, almost like preachers. They aate hai after few months only. We tell them, okay, you stand there and people are coming, you distribute books to them and you tell them about the points of programs, let them come for programs. So almost everybody is preacher. But what is the meaning of preaching? Why we preach? This question was asked in one very nice seminar by His Holiness Bhakti Brihat Bhagwat Swami Maharaj, one of his educative seminars. He asked this question to many devotees. Why we preach? That we understood this mood, but why we preach? Can anybody say why we preach? To get the mercy of the Lord. Or why we preach? Yes, Ru. To? It is desire of Krishna. It is the desire of Krishna, that is why we preach. Yes? Okay, yes. Dusre log hai, unke agyan ko. Means to remove the ignorance of other people. So, okay, any one, two more inputs? To preach, to practice, yes? To follow the instruction of spiritual master. Yes. 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 To purify ourselves, first and foremost. To purify ourselves. So sometimes we may feel that to give this message of Krishna to others, to save others. So when somebody said such a reason in that class to Maharaj, so Maharaj had a very powerful statement, 5 words only. I'll say that as it is. He said, those who felt that way fell down. Very heavy statement. He said, those who felt that way fell down. Those who felt that I can give Krishna to others, those who felt that I need to preach to others to save them, those who felt that they are in ignorance, they fell down. He said, then as Prabhuji was telling, first and foremost, to purify ourselves. See, it is very easy and good to discuss the examples of so many acharyas, as we discussed in the last 20 minutes, and how their mood of preaching is situated. But when anything is discussed, we have to understand to apply in our situation also. Desh kala patra ke anusar, we should learn to apply. We should understand this one thing, that acharyas, they have true compassion. They have the real, original, true compassion. But we don't have compassion. We don't have compassion. Preaching is done by pure devotee. We just go on his behalf because he cannot be present at every place. So our first and foremost welfare work for others is to purify ourselves. Is to purify ourselves. This has to be kept in the first and foremost brain of the preacher. Charity begins at home, as they say. Charity begins at home. First, purifying our own selves. And what is the meaning of preaching and yet purifying ourselves? It means that yes, we also have to preach. Srila Prabhupada did say to a new boy who had just spent one day in ISKCON, Prabhupada said, you preach. Swamiji, I don't know anything. Prabhupada said, what have you learned till now? Swamiji, Hare Krishna mantra only. Just say Hare Krishna mantra outside, finish. That's preaching. So this was Srila Prabhupada's mood. In one place, Srila Prabhupada was telling, writing letter to his one of his sannyasi disciples that, you know, please don't discourage Matajis to go for preaching. They should also go for book preaching. They should also go for book distribution. Why? They are not less. Prabhupada encouraged so much this preaching mood. But at the same time, we have to understand there is a difference between Srila Prabhupada's compassion and our compassion. Yes, we have to preach. There is no doubt about that. Yes, we have to preach. Preaching is the essence. But we have to preach under the guidance, under the instruction, under the guidance of superiors. If we start preaching without the guidance, without the instruction of superiors or spiritual master, then it will be hoax, problem. Just like you see the horse, jo gaon ke log hai unhone dekha hoga, ghoda. Horse, if it is unbridled and the rider is riding that horse, it can even kill that rider. Similarly, this preaching zeal which Srila Prabhupada has made it to permeate in our movement, this preaching zeal is that horse, you know, and we have to be bridled, or let us say, you know, who are the horse? We have to be bridled by guidance. If we are not bridled under the guidance of superiors and still we are preaching, then it will be problem. Just like that famous shloka in Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, shloka number 12. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagvatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura harav bhaktasya kuto mahatguna manorathena sati dhavato bahi. One who is not a devotee of the Lord, one who is not surrendered to spiritual master and seniors, he is just riding on the chariot of mind. And his mind, where he will take his mind, will just create problem only. So we have to be under the guidance. And then when we preach, another very important point is, it is such an important duty of a preacher to ensure that he stays. He stays on and on and on and on. Even if one preacher leaves, almost all of the devotees connected to him, almost all of them also leave, sooner or later. That is why, instead of just preaching too much and burning, it is also an important responsibility of the preacher to ensure that he stays, the same face stays on and on and on. When the people come, when the devotees come, they should see that face again and again and again and again. That itself is a preaching to those devotees that yes, there is that taste in Krishna consciousness which keeps me on. Somebody asked Jisulana Jai Dvaita Swami Maharaj in Vrindavan, Maharaj, how you are continuing so many years as a strong brahmachari preaching despite so many difficulties in your services also? Maharaj said, you know what? A devotee said, like, Maharaj Jai Dvaita Swami Maharaj is going to tell something now in ticket point. He said, you see that person at the back distributing Charanamrita? And the devotees looked back and they were surprised. The Maharaj said, seeing him, I continue Krishna consciousness so many years. Because there was a devotee in between. So for 15-16 years, he was distributing Charanamrita only in Vrindavan temple. So Maharaj said, every time I come to Vrindavan, I see this devotee. So happily, he is distributing Charanamrita. When I see this happy face of a devotee, I feel conviction that yes, if at all happiness is there somewhere, it is in Krishna consciousness. It is such an important responsibility of the preachers to stay on, whatever it takes, to stay on. And then, such a surrendered, honest, sincere, genuine preacher who is preaching under the guidance, as per the will and instruction of seniors and spiritual master, when he will preach, the preaching will be powerful, it will take shape, and the results will be substantial. Then the results will be substantial. We can see how these genuine sadhus who are there attract people. His Grace Bhima Prabhu was mentioning once, recently in IYF class, 1974 was the first Mayapur festival which he attended, and he was telling that practically there was not even one building there on the whole land. It was just a khet, just a forest, just field. Not even one building, this lotus building was also being built. Nothing was there. Just a shack, some jhopadi kind of hut, you know, just shack was there. And so many foreign devotees were, you know, doing kirtans, Krishna Katha and kirtans. Although no facilities, no temples, nothing was there. Just these pure sadhus doing pure kirtans. Thousands of people were coming. Thousands of people were coming to see them, to learn from them Krishna Katha, to hear from them Krishna Katha, to hear their kirtans, to take their darshan of their deities. Because those pure, genuine, surrendered devotees of Srila Prabhupada were there. This is the importance. And so this we have to always remember. We may be in a palace, but this palace does not belong to us. This belongs to Him. We are just servant here. I many times remember this story by His Grace Devaki Nandan Prabhu. Once He said this story. I just take 2 minutes more and then I'm finished. He said the story about how there was one man, Chapadasi. I'll not say peon, because Chapadasi is more, you know, signifying word. So one Chapadasi was there in one office. And he was very honest, very nice person. So one day the manager of the company, the owner of the company saw this is a very nice Chapadasi, you know, very honest man, very submissive, humble, respectful man, honest man. So he called him once, hey, idhar aao, office mein bulaya, I make you the manager of my company. The Chapadasi was like, you know, why? And then explained that you are very honest and nice, I see you. So I want you to be the manager. Don't worry, you don't know anywhere. I'll teach you all the work, but I know I need an honest, sincere, submissive person. So he said, okay. And he became the manager. And then boss will call him sometimes for, you know, okay, ye kaam karo, do this. And gradually he'll started to call him for small meetings also, board meetings and also then for outside dealing meetings also. So like he was almost became like the right hand man of this owner of the company. And one day, this owner of the company forgot to tell him that we have a meeting today evening, 5:30 we have to go. Immediately when the office closes, so immediately after that we have to go for a meeting. So this Chapadasi went to the nearby house company, nearby house Tauska. So he went house and this manager, owner saw, I forgot to tell him. Immediately took his, you know, vehicle and went to his home. He thought I'll pick him from the home directly and then he'll go for the meeting. So he went to his home and saw that this person, he said, I have made him a big manager, house, car, mobile, laptop, broadband, everything I have given to him. But he is wearing this Chapadasi dress at home. वो चपड़ासी का ड्रेस पहन करके कुछ खिस गया है, कपड़ा फट गया है, रंग भी खराब हो गया है. He is, you know, wearing this चपड़ासी का ड्रेस and standing in front of the mirror as if he is looking Mr. World. So he is asking, my dear friend, what you are doing? Why you are wearing this चपड़ासी dress? I gave you so many things. You know, I made you the big manager. So then this man explained, my dear sir, all this wealth, this post of manager, this house, this facilities, they are all yours. And this is me. This is mine. I am this. So every day after office, I wear this dress and stand in front of the mirror to remind myself, I am actually a Chapadasi. My true position is that I am a Chapadasi. You have given me some facilities and a post and position and everything. It is yours. But I am originally Chapadasi. This story I liked very much that I mentioned sometimes to discussions also, we discuss the story. But how we should always remember that I am just a servant here. And He is the Lord and Master and the owner of this palace. I just have to remain surrendered to His devotees, Vartaman, Acharya Vrinda, senior devotees and leaders. I remain surrendered to them and on their orders I have to keep on preaching all my life. And when such a surrendered, dedicated, honest, sincere life aligned with the Acharyas, if we live such a life, then we will see unimaginable things happening. Impossible becomes possible. Like Srila Prabhupada. Within 11 years, 108 temples, schools, gurukuls. So much so, the success went so high that if you know, there is a channel called CNN which gives news, international channel. So CNN has ranked the top 10 people of the world who are the top 10 successful people in the world, and they started their career after the age of 50 years. And Srila Prabhupada is ranked 7. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So you can see that such unimaginable things will happen if we are surrendered. And how we can see that surrendered attitude of Srila Prabhupada? That he always said, in the preface of Gita also it is written, if at all any credit goes to me, it is just that I always try to present as it is. I always try to follow the instructions of my Guru Maharaj. That's it. I tried my best to satisfy him. That was his qualification. And then he could do such things, such success. And the same thing we have to continue. With surrender, with the attitude of pleasing seniors, just to serve their instructions. If we go on our life, then we'll be successful. And our success will know no bounds. Srila Prabhupada, the key? Yeah. Thank you very much for your kind patience. Please forgive me for extra time. And if any questions are there, then we can discuss personally. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya nitai gaur premanande. Hari Hari Bol.